Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I am your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lawver.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Hope y'all are having a great week. And yeah, thank y'all so much for listening to last week's episode. And this week, we're talking, finally, we're talking about Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare. Sorry we're late to the party. It was not available in the U.S. streaming-wise. I think it showed in a couple theaters here. Like major cities, pretty much.
Yeah, it showed on at AMC theaters, I think, and we don't have one of those here.
So. Unfortunately, no. it didn't show at the AMC. We don't have AMC theaters here, so. But you know, finally, you know, it was showing like all. Dude, it sucked, man. It just like, oh yeah, we're showing it here in Australia. We're showing it here in this part of the world. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, I want to see it too.
Throw us a bone, like seriously, like we've been following like. The Pooniverse.
Yeah.
We've been following since like the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, it's the progression of the Pooniverse. And so we, you know, we were just patiently waiting.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, you know, it passed us by.
Yeah, unfortunately. But now, finally, it came to the U.S. on streaming. It's available on Prime Video. So you can go rent it if you want to. Before you listen to this episode, you want to let me go check it out first. Go do it. And then, you know, come back and hear what we thought about it. Because... I thought a lot of good things about this movie, man. This was really, really good. But it, directed by Scott Chambers, same people who did, you know, Blood and Honey 1, Blood and Honey 2. So many Easter eggs in this movie, not just to the, you know, obviously the story, the original story, the Peter Pan, but like to the, you know, Pooniverse.
The Pooniverse.
Stuff like that. But if you're like, hey, I don't want to see it yet, pretty much it is, you know, it's pretty much the same thing. It's just more drugs and, maybe the cartoon had drugs too. But it's pretty much, I guess he would be considered a kidnapper or a serial killer.
Yeah, it was very, the storyline to me kind of followed pretty similar to Black Phone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It kind of had that like whole creepy feeling, you know, like he's rolling around in a van.
Yeah.
You know. Picking up kids. In this case, he's, you know, he's picking up young boys.
Yeah, and to take him to Neverland.
Yeah.
But pretty much his psyche is kind of messed up. Like
they allude to the fact that his mom is like really messed him up, but they don't really, like, that was the one thing I was just waiting for. I was waiting for like the spoiler to come and show why it is that Peter has this, you know, whole deal with his mom.
Yeah.
Like his mom did things to him. And you see things like physically that had been done to him later in the movie, but you're kind of just sitting there and you're like, okay, well, what did mom do to you?
Yeah, well, he was mutilated.
Oh, yeah, he was.
And I mean, he was mutilated.
He was a Ken doll.
Yeah. Yeah, when we saw that part, I asked my girl, I was like, is he, he's missing down there, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, he's mutilated. I had to like replay it. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's gone. Like, there's nothing. And I'm like, oh, wow. So that's probably what they were talking about, like, she probably, you know, did some stuff to him.
That's what I'm thinking, like, maybe she wanted him to stay, like, a boy forever, so maybe she castrated him so that his voice would stay, you know, like, at a lower pitch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was waiting for, like, the reveal, like, you know, what did mom do?
Yeah.
And it never came, but, you know, the story was still great. The movie was still amazing.
The movie was great, dude, yeah. Tinkerbell was great. Man, very sad about Tinkerbell. Golly, man. So, I mean, it shows his progression. He was pretty much, what, a circus act? He was a clown.
Yeah.
And that's how he would kind of pick his boys out.
Very Circus of the Dead. I don't know.
Yes.
I pulled that comparison. I'm like, this is very Circus of the Dead.
Yeah.
He's, like, pointing at certain kids and choosing them. And then he shows up, obviously. And, you know, the first victim that you see is basically it's Hook.
Yeah. No, Curly, yeah. Curly, yeah.
And so, yeah. And so he chooses him, and he gives him a balloon animal.
Yeah, and that's how, yeah.
And that's, you know, basically, you know, very it in that sense.
Yeah.
So I love the way that they just used all these little, you know, these pieces kind of, it felt like, from other movies.
Yeah.
To kind of pull together, but.
First of all, production has gone gotten better.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's gotten better. So you can see that they're drawing in crowds. They're making money now. Like, they're people are loving this stuff. I know there's a lot of other reviews that say otherwise, but, dude, you can tell, like, yeah, that they're going with this. We're getting to the Pooniverse. We're gonna go all the way. Like, but yeah, production one, again, shout out to them for, you know, having better production, doing it really, really good. Because obviously, if you watch the first, you know, the Winnie the Pooh, Blood Honey 1 and 2, you could kind of tell, yeah, it's low budget, it's B horror, it's
And that's what we, you know, when we reviewed part two, that's one of the things that we noticed was, like, it's like they took the money from part one and funneled it into part two.
Yeah.
And then they went back, and due to the fact that it was kind of like campy and low budget, they made it seem like it was almost like an Unsolved Mysteries episode.
Yeah.
Like, part one was almost like Unsolved Mysteries because they didn't have that extensive budget. And you think, like, most of the revenue that's coming from these movies is coming from the streaming.
Yeah.
The selling of the, like, hard copy DVDs, the steelbooks with the extra, you know, the extra goodies that they're giving away.
Yeah, the little posters in them and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's... like this one, Peter Pan, came with... They still have it available at Umbrella, but it has, like, these little placard cards, and there's, like, 16 of them.
Yeah.
And it's, like, you know, it's got a little storybook that goes along with it. And just their marketing is, like, a step ahead.
I mean, even the Winnie the Pooh, the Blood Honey 2 one, it has, like, a little storybook, you know, that goes with it. And it has, like, the little characters and the drawings from, like, the beginning of that movie. It's just, yeah, good marketing, dude, that you can't really find anymore, like... Obviously, like, some movies do great marketing with, like, oh, the billboards, the phone calls, the, you know, Art the Clown sending you a penny or something like that, you know, but but physical stuff, like, that's what I like. I like the physical, like.
Yeah, because everybody has a steelbook. Almost every movie is released on steelbook now, but this one has, like, extra added. On top of that, I think I want to say it's a limited edition of, like, 3,000 units. So, and that's worldwide.
Oh, man.
So there's only 3,000 units. Dang, and they're like, hey, you know, like.
I got to hop on it.
It's just like the stuff that they come out with. Yeah. And I mean, and you're thinking, okay, opening weekend, U.S. and Canada, this movie only made $8,400.
Yeah.
So they're getting the money from basically all these little side ventures that they're going through and running.
Yeah. And not that, I mean, they're having bigger openings probably, you know, in the U.K., Australia, stuff like that. Whereas here, it was, like I said, it was only open in major cities and very few major cities.
And it was 3 days.
Yeah, and it was only 3 days. So, if y'all are listening to this, if y'all ever hear this, man, just throw a bone out here to Lubbock, Texas. You know, we need something.
We need an AMC.
That's what we need. We need an AMC. But, yeah, it's just a good, it was good storytelling, man. Just the showing the how psychotic Peter Pan was, you know, kidnapping these kids. And finding out that he actually is, like, murdering him, sending him to, you know, Neverland to live young forever. Because he tells the story at the beginning where he, you know, what his mom would tell him, mom or dad would tell him a story about Peter Pan, you know, who would rescue boys and, you know, a place where they didn't have to sleep and they would live young forever. They had no responsibilities. And that's where he was trying to send all the boys he was kidnapping. Of course, with the Curly, him kidnapping Curly, they get into it. Him and his mom get into it. I mean, he gets, like, roughed up in the face. Cut. Oh, yeah.
She jacks him up good. Like,
yeah. But, again, dude, the kills, though, in this thing, great, dude. Like, oh, my gosh, the butchering. Just,
yeah,
and
the knife wounds to the face, like, cutting through the cheek.
Yeah.
Like, and just the blood splat. Yeah, it was.
Scalping the mom in the beginning, the first kill scene.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, like, the stuff that they're coming up with, it's, like, next-level stuff. It's, like, really great kill scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, I mean, what's good, I guess, is they don't show, like, him killing the kids. Obviously, that would be terrible. But he comes back, what, 15 years later? And he kidnaps, Michael.
Michael
Darling. And he, you know, is pretty much telling him, giving him the same thing. Like, it's time. He has his sidekick, Tinkerbell, who is, you know, somebody who's, you could tell, hooked on drugs. Like, they're hooked on drugs. And she's pretty much just, like, waiting to go to Neverland, too. What we find out, though, later is that Peter kidnapped her when she was a young boy, who always felt like a woman, and kidnapped him. And that's why I think he never killed Tinkerbell. Or what was it, Timmy?
Yeah.
His name was Timmy.
It was Timmy.
When he was younger.
Yeah.
And that's probably because she's like, he was like, wait, oh, I'm going to go to Neverland too. Like, I've been waiting. Like, but I've been shooting up with like pixie dust. That's another thing, dude. Like, the necrosis on the arm.
Yeah.
Where they shoot up. Like, it's just, again, dude, just the prosthetics, the makeup, all that stuff, dude. It's just.
Yeah. It's got that whole like Requiem for a Vibe feel.
Yeah.
Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah. Requiem for a Vibe too.
Yeah. And, you know, that was like, you know, that was really creepy and crazy because it's kind of like I think that he keeps Tink around because Tink, like, is, I mean, I it's like his life mate.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. Like, you know, Tink prepares the drugs when he comes back from, like, kidnapping and, you know, engaging the children. You know, the drugs are waiting. The pixie dust is waiting there for you.
Yeah, that's what's cool. it's called pixie dust.
Yeah, it's called pixie dust. And it's, you know, he lives in this house that, although it's very childish in nature, it's very, like, just dilapidated and just...
It's just run down,
It's horrible. It's in disrepair. And there's, like... The cool part that I thought about it is I never put two and two together on the fact that when he actually kidnaps the kids, he puts them in a room, and there's this scene that constantly just replays on the black and white TV, and it's a crocodile eating, like, an impala or a gazelle or something. And it just sits there and it plays over and over again.
Yeah.
And I never put two and two together that basically this is a reference to TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, TikTok, the crocodile from, you know, Peter and the Pirates and Neverland. Yeah. And I didn't put that together until in the end they kind of show you that, you know, he's gone through and he obviously kidnapped, essentially, I forget his first name, but the Hook Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's actually chained down in the basement.
Yeah.
And he has a hook for a hand. And so I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This, like, you know, and obviously, like, more stuff unfolds. And you find out that basically this is Captain Hook.
Yeah.
And he does take Peter and deliver vengeance.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, so cool. And that's another thing. The person who played Hook, oh, my gosh. Like, literally, that was... It's a drag queen out of the UK named Charity Case, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on, like, RuPaul's Drag Race UK or something like that. And was actually kind of, like, villainized on the show. Which is funny because, like, the producers and the other contestants, like, had it out for him.
Really?
So he got, like, voted out, like, very early because of, like, some of the costumery. But if you look at the costumes that he had, they were freaking amazing.
Really?
And so he got kicked off of this Drag Race UK. And then I guess they found him and they were like, oh my gosh, we have the perfect part for you to play. And so, yeah, Charity Case became Hook as an adult.
Nice.
And yeah, it was just, I mean, just the way that it all comes together, it's like very, like, emaciated and,
yeah, dude, the hook hand,
you know, it's not like a hook like you see Captain Hook, like, with the cap in the hook, you it's just like literally like
probably kind of,
like,
driven into his bone, yeah.
Like, you know, Candyman-esque. It's just like driven like right into the flesh. And yeah, like, that was my favorite character.
Yeah,
once I saw Hook, I was like, done.
Yeah, I like Tinkerbell, man. I really did, because, like, again, we talked about after we watched it, me and my girl talked about, oh, the reason he probably didn't kill, which he does say it in the movie, you know, is because, like I said, he was a boy, but he always felt like a little girl on the inside. And so I think when he kidnapped him, he kind of felt, you know, whatever his mind was thinking, you know, of course, being on drugs and stuff like that, probably thought, you know, he's not really a boy, technically. So that's probably why he kept him around. And of course, you know, Timmy grew up, became Tinkerbell and all that. But when they come to, like, the final climax, when Wendy Darling, you know, her son, you know, her brother gets kidnapped and she has to go look for him, that's when, like, you can tell, like, Tinkerbell's like, okay, this is wrong. Like, he's killing all these kids. Like, because there's a scene where, which is wild, he's, like, pretending to fix his van on the road. Boys pulls up and bus driver goes out. He kills the bus driver, goes in, and he's like, you know, who wants to go to Neverland with me? Excuse me. And, of course, next scene is, like, you know, them laying in a field, all the little boys.
Cause he just scattered them about.
Because he took all of them to Neverland, supposedly. And that's when Tinkerbell's like, yeah, there's something up. Like, this isn't right. Like, I need to do something. Well, while she doesn't, like, directly help, she's kind of, you could see that she's not believing in Peter Pan's vision of,
well, see, I think that, you know, for Tink, I think that she became very disillusioned because there was that long period of time where Peter was pretty much dormant.
Yeah.
You know, after he gets, you know, hurt, you know, and gets attacked, then I think he kind of like does like the whole, you know, Terrifier hibernation thing.
Yeah.
You know, where Art the Clown goes and he hides out in a room and he just kind of like, you know, has nothing to do with society for a while. And I think that's what happened was in that interim, she got to mature and grow up. She became an adult. They got hooked on the smack.
Yeah.
You know, things happened, but yeah, he was dormant in his killings for a long time. And then I don't know why he just chose to come out of hibernation on Michael's birthday. And, you know, and that's why he kills all the kids on the school bus, is because basically he is looking for Michael's best friend.
Yeah.
Because he has Michael, but Michael doesn't seem content in the fact that he's just going to go to Neverland.
So
he wants his best friend.
His best friend, Joey, which Joey's sister, Mia, I don't know if you caught this, but she tells Wendy that they're going to go camping later on with a couple of friends. This might allude to the friends that get killed in part two of Blood and Honey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that makes more sense. And that's how it shows that they're connected.
Yeah.
But of course, I guess she doesn't go, or Mia says that she's going to go camping with a couple friends, and those are supposed to be the friends that are in Blood and Honey too. I was like, no, Mel's the one who gets killed by
the glamping trip.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
That's not camping, homie. That's not camping. They had like
luxury camping.
They had Polaris's. They had Christmas lights. They had way too much stuff.
Yeah, dude, they had way too much.
They had like
a
jet ski. Like,
it looked more like a trailer park than camping trip. But yeah, so them all. I mean, Tink, unfortunately, they do have an argument, and that's when Tink tells them, like, I don't believe in Neverland anymore. Peter's like, that's fine. I don't believe in fairies. And he tears her up.
Well, there were lots of moments of betrayal where he felt that, like, Tink, in her realization, in the fact that she's realizing that there is no Neverland, she betrays, you know, his trust.
Yeah, not only that, Wendy, when they're doing the investigation to find Michael, where he's being held, where Peter's holding him, they go to one of the victims from 15 years ago who lost their kid, which is Timmy's dad. And they talk to him, you know, they go through the room, they look at the pictures and all that, and he's pretty much telling them, how Timmy was. And when she sees Tinkerbell for the first time, that's when she's like, Timmy, is this you? And that's when Tinkerbell kind of like realizes, like, oh,
a mental break. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like she thought that her dad didn't miss her.
Yeah, because Peter keeps filling her head with all this nonsense, and in a drug-induced stupor, she's believing everything. I mean, she, God's sakes, man, she still believes that all these kids are going to Neverland.
Yeah.
Doesn't realize that, you know, there's like an emaciated like hook living in the basement.
Yeah.
You know, she just, at that point, I think she's just believing anything that Peter tells her.
Yeah, and unfortunately, when they have the argument, Peter just tears her up, man, breaks her arms. Cuts them off.
Yeah, he starts going like piece by piece, just deconstructing her.
Yeah. Crushes her head.
Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately she does die. But.
So you think. You never know.
I don't know, man. I think she's pretty dead.
I thought Peter was going to get pretty jacked up when he got like a big old like 19-inch steak knife shoved through his cheek.
True.
I mean, like, because it wasn't like he was going to, like, get first aid rendered. He's just sitting there holding it with his hand.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell sealed that up? I guess 18 years in the little, you know.
Yeah, man, you didn't.
Little dilapidated children's
shooting
playhouse.
Shooting heroin, pixie dust into it. Just.
Yeah, just cauterize it with pixie dust.
All around, man, the movie was great. The kills were great. The psychology behind Peter Pan was done great. I mean, just. How they did it, where he's like so drug filled, seeing actual Peter Pan floating, him in such a drug filled state that he's like floating on the ground.
Oh, and I love the fact that he keeps, like, just like in the cartoon, he keeps fighting with his shadow.
Yeah.
Because Peter Pan always, like, played with his shadow.
Yeah.
And so I love the fact that, like, his shadow does some, like, auspicious shit, but his shadow is, like, a demon.
Yeah.
Because it, like you said, he gets, like, entranced by it, and he, like, literally, you know, starts, who was that used to pull that crap? Was it David Blaine or Chris Angel?
Oh, Chris Angel,
Chris Angel, when he used to do that little, like,
levitating.
Like, yeah, that little 3-inch levitation. Like, yeah. It was that level stuff.
Yeah, but... Oh man, it was done really well. I liked how his voice would change. Like he would be talking like all high pitched, like a little kid, and then immediately like change into this guttural voice, like when he's gonna kill you. It's just it was done. Outfit too. His outfit was pretty cool. He looked like Zelda. He looked like Link from Legend of Zelda.
It was weird. He looked almost like the thing that got he kind of had that whole like I forget his character's name, but Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
He had the little laced up kind of blousey top.
Yeah,
kind of
like that, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, that's what threw me off about the school bus. Okay. We're in present day, you know, like 2025, UK. And you're driving a school bus down the street and you see it. And then this guy walks up to you and he's got like this like blouse top.
Mind you, the van looks like it's supposed to be like a party van for like, you know, I do characters.
Like puppets,
or something.
Yeah.
And so he probably doesn't even think twice, and then, you know, Peter Pan sticks him in the freaking face. Like,
oh, dude, no. Dude. The best kill, the fat guy at the freaking at the freaking novelty shop. So for some weird reason, I don't even understand where it really came from, but Peter is like, there's this guy opening, like, this novelty shop with, like, just random little items and mask and crap, and... This guy's sitting there doing like his morning counter or whatever. He's like, we're not open yet. And then like you see like this shadowy guy walk down the aisle. And then the guy's watching him. And he's not like going to like kick the guy out. Like the shopkeeper's not going to like, you know, 86 the guy.
Yeah.
He just is just sitting there like doing whatever it was that he's doing.
He sees the camera.
And, and he's like watching him on the camera. And he's just kind of steamed like, what is this bloke doing in here?
Yeah.
And it's like.
He's like, hey, dude, you got to pay for that.
Yeah.
And, like,
and so then, like, yeah, Peter finds this, like, you know, it's a basic mask. It's like it's like a standard human mask. And he puts it on because, you know, now he's all scarred up.
Yeah,
and
he's supposed to look like a little boy again.
Yeah, and so he's kind of happy that he's found, you know, a healed face. A
couple of deer masks.
Yeah.
Maybe hinting at Bambi.
Possibly.
But he finds that mask.
Some Pinocchio kind of stuff floating around in there, too.
And so, a little bit, yeah.
Then he walks up to the front, and, like, obviously, the guy's like, you got to pay for that. Dude, the guy's, like...
He's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, he's not supposed to be there, first and foremost. He went over and stole a mask. On top of that, dude's, like, got, like, a 15th century blouse on, and some sackcloth pants. Okay, this guy's not all there. He's not playing with the full deck. Stop messing around.
Yeah.
But not this shopkeeper. Big boy McGinty decides he's going to go up and demand, his 40 quid or whatever he wanted. And so he goes up to him and, man, Peter pulls out that, like, 9-inch steak knife.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, catches him right in the neck.
Yeah, and then keeps stabbing him.
Yeah, didn't give up on that guy until he was done. Yeah.
He hit the ground hard, man.
Oh, dude, come on, man. Gravity's been waiting for that one. Newton's apple, that guy.
Yeah, dude. Everything in this was just cool. The way his face looked after he was cut. Everything was just really done amazingly, and I can't wait to see, you know, Bambi. You still got Bambi the Reckoning. You still got
Pinocchio
Unstrung. You still have a couple of others. I think they still have. Of
you
course,
got
they got
Pooh 3.
You got Pooh 3, Blood Honey 3, and this one didn't say if there was going to be another Peter Pan. So I doubt it. But at the end of the movie, she did answer the phone, Wendy did, after they made it. And Hook captures Peter Pan and drags him down the basement.
Pulls him down this crazy, like, lit-up tunnel that looks like just...
It looks like something out of Saw, dude. Like, just...
It was cool. I loved that. I was like, man, I'm going to, like, retro my closet and just, like, do that. Paint a clown face all around it.
And yeah, it drags them down. But you know, when they're all good, they're celebrating Michael's birthday again. That's when, you know, they get the call and like this, the music's playing that he, you know, that he's still alive.
Okay, man. Was I just the only one who literally like, okay, so Michael got kidnapped on his birthday the year before. He wanted a bike. Poor kid wanted a bike. I understand the feeling. So he wanted the bike. He gets the bike. He wants a ride to school. Can't do that. So then his sister takes him. Long story short, his whole birthday basically sucks. It's just the worst birthday ever. The next year, he still wants to celebrate? No. I wouldn't tell anyone when my birthday was. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, because now you have like kind of darkness attached to absolutely, your birthday.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, hey, you know, 37 kids got killed on your birthday because they were looking for your best friend. Like, no, like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, and Joey had the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey shirt on.
But did you notice it wasn't like a good quality?
It
was like one of those iron-on, like,
oh, yeah, I guess you, yeah,
craft store. It was almost like they'd bought like a bootleg somewhere and put it on, because I was like, dude, that's a Blood and Honey t-shirt,
but
it looks like literally like one of those Epson printer.
Yeah, probably, most likely, iron
it. It totally looked like some fake bootleg.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love the fact that if they got like this bootleg that they like literally put it in the movie. Because, you know, I mean, like literally like out there, I mean,
I don't think they have any merch for...
It's not licensed, but there are shirts out there. I'm just going to say that. Like, you can't, and they're a lot better quality than an Epson printer. So I kind of think that, yeah, it was probably a bootleg, and they're like, dude, we're just going to ham it up.
And, yeah. You know. Yeah, that was pretty funny, though. Yeah, that was pretty.
And poor Joey. So back to, you know, back to Wendy and Mia and everybody. Like, they're just, you know.
Oh, dude, yeah, dude. I forgot about that.
The whole family gets slaughtered, and Joey's the only one left. And the next birthday, he's not even at the party, because you know what? He's probably at, like, whatever the UK has for CPS.
Like, oh, dude. Yeah. Yeah, that whole scene. Yeah, he kills. Peter Pan comes in to look for Joey, and he just murders everyone.
He murders the whole family. And the only reason that Wendy survives is because technically she's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, she's not supposed to.
Like,
yeah.
So he, like, Peter's, like, looking at the photographs in the house, and he's killing according to basically the grocery list that he has in front of him. And lo and behold, Wendy's in the house because obviously, like, Peter doesn't know that, you know, she's looking for her brother.
Yeah.
And she's staying there. So he just, I mean, he decimates the whole family.
Yeah.
Like, with intense malice. Like, he does not play around.
Yeah.
Like, some people you think are going to get away. Like, I kind of thought maybe the mom was going to catch a break. Because dad gets, like, mondo slashed. Dad's done. Like,
yeah, he's done.
He's crawling.
Well, the sister.
Oh.
She was just laying on the couch asleep, and he just freaking just stabs the crap out of her.
Yeah, he's walking around the outside of the house. He finds the one open window. But I'm sorry. Like, not only do I have animals in the house, I have lots of things going on in my house. Seriously, if a window opens in my house, I'm up. Like, I don't know how you slept through that. I bet you she had some pixie dust.
That's probably what it was, man.
It was a pixie dust.
It was a pixie dust. She was lifted.
She was. She saw her shadow. She's like, yeah.
Yeah, well, not only that, it's probably like a peaceful neighborhood, I guess you could say. Because they live in nice houses, man.
Yeah.
So they probably didn't think twice about locking their windows or anything like that. Like, screw it, whatever comes in. Probably be a fairy tale creature.
Well, remember Tink's dad says that too when she's talking to Tink's dad, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, how they kidnapped Timmy. He's like, yeah, you know, we back in those days we left the front door open.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
so that's how he got Timmy. So he's probably like, ah, doors are closed, but windows, free game.
Yeah, well, the first one, he comes in through a freaking cellar, like an evil dead, like a
like fruit a dead cellar.
But, yeah, dude, it was so good. And I can't wait to see what else they do. Again, I'm excited for Pinocchio. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to see Bambi. I can't wait to see what they do with a freaking radioactive zombie deer or, like, deer on a blood streak or something. But I think Pinocchio is kind of where – because I've already seen the images and, you know, oh, my God, I can't forget. He was in, you know, Three from Hell.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about, right? He's going to be in it, supposedly. But – I think he's Geppetto. I don't know, though.
I don't know, man. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio on Netflix was great.
Great. And that was, of course, obviously...
And, yeah, it wasn't done, like, in a horror twist. But, yeah, the scenes for this one, it's... Yeah. I think it's going to be amazing. I am looking forward to Bambi. I think Bambi's going to be, like, really good. But definitely, I think Blood and Honey 3 is probably like my most anticipated.
Yeah, because I want to see how they step it up, because it's supposed to be like a Tigger Returns, right? Yeah.
So 3 is going to come out, and then literally Pooniverse Unite is going to come out. And all of them just in one, like, you know.
Yeah, Richard Brake. Yeah, he plays Geppetto. Robert Englund plays Cricket. Dude, they actually...
They are stepping it up, yeah.
Oh, and I guess the Michael Darling's... Okay, here's what I thought. Because on the year later, his birthday, at the very end of the movie, he pulls out a drone. I thought what they were going to do is, like, he's going to fly the drone and like into the woods or whatever, and that's how he's going to see, like, Bambi.
Bambi?
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe that's how it's going to start. Who knows? That would be pretty cool, actually, if it does start like that.
I think they're all going to tie together because, I mean, like you were saying, there's so many Easter eggs in this movie. Like, at the end, when Hook takes Peter up on one of the little mantel shelves, there's this little wicker deer.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's an obvious reference. It's an obvious Easter egg to Bambi. So, yeah, I think it's just going to keep becoming more and more intertwined until basically it's such a cohesive unit that you can't help but just have everybody unite.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Pooniverse is supposed to have everybody. It's supposed to have Pinocchio, Peter Pan, obviously Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, supposedly the Mad Hatter. Just stuff I've read. It's not confirmed. But are we throwing in some Alice in Wonderland stuff in here? Maybe.
Pixie dust, mushrooms.
That would be good, though, dude. Like a Cheshire cat. Yeah. It's like...
Or the Red Queen.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, that would be so cool. Or those, like, card guard guys.
And that's where, like, the Pooniverse happens, and that's how they have to battle, kind of like Endgame or something.
I'm telling you, man, I mean, that's kind of what they're doing anyway. So.
Oh, yeah, that's the whole thing. But it's just so crazy how kind of cheesy the first movie was. And the second movie, it's very more, you know, mythical because of the forest creatures, this and that. But it does have, like, a dark undertone to it with them being experiments. But with Peter Pan, it is more, like, psychological, like, true crime, like, serial killer.
Yeah.
Like, he's just messed up in the head, and he's doing these to these kids. Like, he's killing them because of what he sees, which happens to a lot of killers. Like, if you're into true crime, you know, 70s and 80s, it's just these killers who thought something, and, you know, that's the way they do it. You know, that's why they killed these people, because of this, or something was telling them to do it.
Not Son, like, of Sam.
Son of Sam, yeah. Well, we now find out that Son of Sam, you know, was part of the Manson thing. But it's just like, it's just, man, I enjoyed the way they did it, and I'm kind of glad they did it that way. And, shoot, I can't wait to see what they do with the rest of the Pooniverse, the Twisted Childhood stuff, what else they're going to come out with. Again, three of them were confirmed already, which is obviously Bambi, Pinocchio, and Blood and Honey 3. So we'll see what they come up with next.
Hopefully AMC opens.
or near us or something.
Or somebody gets enough courage again, to actually care and these movies.
Another thing, too, we know, like, a lot of new movies, horror movies have come out. I know Bring Her Back came out, and 28 years later, it's just so much to see at one hit. And I know with our schedules, the podcast doesn't make any money, so it's kind of hard to kind of lump in all these movies back to back to back. But we're going to try to get to them as soon as we can, that we're not late to the party. You know, give y'all time to watch them as well, so y'all can see what we thought, compare it to what you thought. But, yeah, we'll get to those. There's so much. I mean, dude, there's so much coming out. And
yeah, there's a lot of content coming out right now, and it's, you know, it's kind of hard to keep up. And obviously, not only just our prior commitments, but the fact that, you know, we are in a relatively smaller community.
Yeah.
Even though our head count's pretty good. We've got, like, you know, 250,000 people.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of, you know, Not a lot of people catering to our interests.
Yeah, there's not. It's not like a giant city where it's like you go to Dallas, Austin. There's, you kind of have people you like. You know, if you're a metalhead, you go to this area of the city. Or if you're into this stuff, go to this area of the city. Or you're gonna have art walks or stuff like that. There's with bigger giant cities, you have areas where they cater to what you like, or you know, stuff like that. Whereas here, you know, it's kind of like every once in a while, or, you know, we have a good music scene, but it's, you know, it's looking like it's only one genre, but, you know, it's a very small, I guess, you know, I guess genre-wise, I guess you could say that it's not very huge, like horror
community. Yeah, it's not very eclectic. Like the horror movies tend to be more studio produced.
Yeah,
and you know, a lot of the little ones, you know, they tend to fly under the radar.
Yeah, if it's indie movies, it's usually going to be like a rom-com that we, you know, unfortunately we found out when we did a mystery movie a couple months ago or. We were like, oh, man, this is going to be this movie. We know it, like, because they give you details of what the movie's going to be.
And they said suspense, and it was not
suspense. It was not suspense. It was a rom-com, unfortunately. We got duped. It was only, like, what, $3? $5?
I think it was $5.
Yeah, but still, I'm like, God, dude, we could have. Oh, well. But, yeah, it was, you know, they if they do indie movies or their action movies, you know, because everybody's going to pay to see action movies. Horror is not for everybody. I get it. But I do think it's like starting to get bigger now. You're getting a lot more, more people, like, wanting horror. And you got more original content in horror. Yeah.
And even the studios are starting to put out more and more and more. I mean,
yeah,
you've got so much stuff. I mean, you've got Megan 2. You just got 28 years later.
I don't know how I feel about that, man. I don't know how I feel about Megan.
See the popcorn bucket?
Yeah, I saw the popcorn bucket. But with Megan, she was a villain, you know?
Yeah.
And this one now, it's like Terminator now. Like,
no, she's like Kill Bill, bro. She's
yeah, she doesn't like.
She's got the little whole Kill Bill thing with like the little poodle glasses from like Rick and Morty. Yeah, dude.
It can be good. Don't get me wrong.
I don't know. Good. I can't judge it. I did not watch part one. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not.
But it's like Chucky. Like, oh, Chucky, I need you to help me fight, you know, this more evil doll. Now we got Cabbage Patch Kids coming after us, you know?
We got the Garbage Pail Kids.
We got Garbage Pail Kids coming after us.
Chucky versus all the Garbage Pail Kids.
Or the American Me dolls.
Oh, yeah. I think it's American Girl.
Is it American Girl? Oh, American. So I was thinking American Me.
Edward James Olmos.
They're Mexican dolls.
Looks like it's been melted.
No, American Girl dolls. Sorry, yeah. Not the movie American Me. I don't think they have dolls out with them.
They might.
But American Girl dolls. You know, Chucky versus American Girl dolls.
That would be amazing.
But, yeah, dude, again, I said it with Mickey Mouse, you know, with Screamboat, yeah. You know. Yeah, people don't like it, but dude, it's just interesting to see.
It's something new.
It's something new
that takes you in a different direction. It's broken off from like the mainstream. You know, it's not The Conjuring. It's not Insidious. It's not, you know, what.
It's not Saw or Scream, stuff like that. Yeah.
It's not the big, you know, blockbuster titles. It's going with that, like, you know, Sleepaway Camp, Killer with a Drill kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know. It's that niche-y, if you wanted to see something that's like, you know, like done well, but you still know it's brain rot, that's what it's there for.
It's just good. I like it. I am enjoying it. I'm going to enjoy it until it, you know, it falls off the rails. So
yeah,
I'm here for the ride. So let's see where it takes us, man.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much, guys, for listening. That was our review of Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank y'all again for listening. Share us with everybody, man. Spread us around. Help us grow. New episodes drop every Friday at 7 a.m. until, you know, we might change it up a little. We'll see what happens. I got some plans, but until then, guys, have a good weekend. Thank y'all so much for listening, and we'll see y'all next week.